Okay, welcome. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Albert and Perla Stolman in memory of Albert's beloved father, David Ben Yitzchak, David Stolman Alav HaShalom, on the occasion of his yard site. In the zchus of our learning together, may the neshama indeed have an aliyah. Okay, we are at the end of Perek Yud Ches. About to start Perek Yutes. Last week we spent a good chunk of time on the beginnings of the tension between Shaul and David. And we see, even in those formative moments after the battle between Goliath, or the encounter of Goliath and David, very, very quickly, Even unconsciously to Shaul, it all starts to fall apart. So I want to start in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk. Let's start from. Let's start from Pasuk Yud Zayin. I think we went a little farther than that last week, but I think that's a good place to start in the. For the purposes of what I would like to accomplish tonight. So I'm going to share my screen with you. Again, if you have a a Navi in front of you, that's best. But if not, let's see here. Let's just pull it up on the screen. Thought it was there. Okay. Let's start that again. Give me 1 second. Again, Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'm going to give you my eldest daughter. In return, you're going to fight my battles. Shaul Amar Al Tihi Adi Bo Usihi Bo Yad Plishtim. And Shaul says, he's thinking to himself, "Let not my hand strike him; let the hand of the Plishtim strike him." So the Malbim and others wonder what exactly is going through Shaul's head over here. In Shaul's mind, I mean, this guy just battled Goliath. What does it mean that I am going to put him into battle with a Plishtim, and somehow the Plishtim are going to kill him? Well, if he was brave enough and daring enough and wise enough and strategic enough to best Goliath, then maybe the Plishtim aren't going to be such a big threat to him. But what we see from here is that Shaul is not ready to take on David, straight on and show his cards. And last week we spoke a little bit about the fact that he did attack him, but I pointed out that it was an attack in which could be, had he been successful, which he wasn't, but had he been successful, it could have been interpreted as, maybe by mistake, it was an accident, whatever. But he's still in this phase here where he doesn't want to encounter and threaten and potentially kill David head on. So he sends him into harm's way. However, the Malbim points out it's not quite as simple as that. Take a look on the side here. Okay, so the Malbim says, hold on. Okay. All right. I don't have it in front of me. I'll just tell it to you. I'll tell it to you ba'al peh. And so the Mefarshim say the following, that when Shaul thinks to himself, I'm going to send him to the Plishtim, what he's thinking to himself is that in normal battle, so I don't want to say that there aren't enmities. There certainly are enmities that are created between the two sides. But, war is war. And afterwards, sometimes, the opposing armies, they make up. I'm not saying they're going to be the best of friends. But, war is war. And people psychologically soldiers can appreciate the fact that, okay, they were fighting their country's war. But now the war is over. And we can actually, if not be friends with one another, we can be civil with one another. We don't have to hold on to the enmity. That's when it's wartime. But what Shaul attempted to do here with David was utzihibo yad plishtim. In other words, he was going to send him on a on an errand to kill plishtim in peacetime. You know, not in battle. To kill civilians, and this would not be forgiven by the plishtim, and they would hold the grudge. And they would create, and there would be a great sense of enmity and hatred, and this would ultimately be the downfall of David. So this is what this is what the Malbim says to explain what's going on through in Shaul's mind over here. Okay, let's move on. Vayomer David el Shaul, and David says to Shaul, "Mi anochi umi chayai mishpachas avi b'Yisrael." He says basically, "Who am I? I'm going to marry the king's daughter." Ki ayecha son la melech. Vayhi be'es teis meirav ba Shaul le David. And at this time that Meirav was being given to Shaul. Vehi nitna to David. Vehi nitna l'Adriel hamechol atil isha. We spoke about this last week that she had been. Married off to somebody else, and so this was not going to happen, the marriage between herself and David. So I'm going to ask you to think about the following question and keep it in mind as we now go through the Psukim. What story does this remind you of in Tanakh, where we have a father-in-law attempting to marry off a daughter to a potential son-in-law? And the oldest daughter, no less.
Lavan.
Okay, there we have it. Lavan and Rachel and Leah and Yaakov. And I would suggest that. And so I'd like you to keep this in mind as we're reading through the Psukim, and see if we see some additional parallels here. So far we have one. Or a basic one, split up into a few parts, and that is a potential father-in-law trying to marry off the daughter, the oldest daughter, to the potential son-in-law, and it doesn't work out. Vateahav Michal bat Shaul as David, and Michal, the daughter of Shaul, loves David. Vayagidu l'Shaul vayishar hadavar be'enav. And just as Rachel greatly loved Yaakov, so Michal greatly loved Shaul. It's not David. It's not clear if David felt the same way in return. Nevertheless, vayagidu l'Shaul vayishar hadavar be'enav. They told this to Shaul, and Shaul thought that it was in fact a good idea. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul says, et nenalo usihilo lemokesh. I am going to give this daughter of mine to David. And she will be a snare for him. She will be a some type of obstacle. Utihibo yad plishtim, and so the plishtim will kill him. Vayomer Shaul el David b'shtayim titchatein bihayom. So Shaul said to David, "You can become my son-in-law today, if not with the first daughter, with the second daughter." So I think Barbara asked me at the end of the shiur last week, "What does it mean utihilo lemokesh?" That somehow marrying Michal is going to be some type of snare, some type of obstacle for David. And I think I said that, you know, we'll get to it, and now is when we're getting to it. So again, if we, hopefully I'll get this one more quickly. So here you have the Malbim on the right side, Vatilo Mokesh. David is thinking, Shaul is thinking to himself, Sheyimsar nafsho, that lisakana, avur ahavato, that it means that David is going to want to put himself in harm's way out of love for his wife. In other words, he's going to want to do everything he possibly can to protect her. Maybe because she is the daughter of the king, maybe because he just loves her. But this is the mokesh that's going through David's head. Yet another way to potentially knock off David. Ulamanda Amar Kidushe Ulamanda Amar Kidushe Meirav Hayu Kidushin Gimurim Choshav Gamken Shiyasaena Ba'avera V'yukash Ba. So, if you recall last week, we spoke about the fact that he was originally supposed to marry Meirav. Now, there are two views in Chazal and the Rishonim as to what happened with that original marriage. So, Mande Amar Kiddushe Meirav Hayu Kiddushin Gemurim, that he indeed did marry Meirav, and it was a good Kiddushin, and therefore, Chashav Gamkein She Yisaena Ba'avera V'yukashba. So he thought that he would now marry off David to Michal, the sister, and this is post Matan Torah, so one husband can't marry two sisters, and this would be marrying in sin, and that would be the snare. So one way or the other, he's trying to knock off David. But these are all ways of indirectly doing so. He doesn't yet quite have the gumption, the courage, the brazenness to take on David head on. Okay. Now, if indeed David was married to the two sisters, that again would be a parallel back to Lavan, Rachel, and Leah. Okay, Pasuk 22. Vayitzav Shaul Savadav Dabru al Daviv Balat Lemor, and Shaul tells his servants to go speak to David, and in private, and impress upon him that that he wants him as a son-in-law. Hine chafetz b'cha hamelech b'chol avadav ahevuch v'ata hischatein b'melech. Says, listen, I like you, I want you. All of my court, all of my servants like you. So marry into the royal family. Mm-hmm. Now this is wrong. I mean, it's wrong in part. He doesn't like David. He doesn't want David. This is deceitful. This is just somehow an attempt to either control David or to keep David. You keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So, but what he is presenting to David is entirely of lies and deceit, right? Yet another parallel to Lavan. Lavan also engaged with Yaakov with deceit and lies. Vayidabruav, not the same way, but lies and deceit nevertheless. And then later on, Lavan makes himself out to be this great friend to Yaakov, but he works him to the bone, and he's constantly changing the terms of their employment agreement. So, he's even in his relations with Yaakov, there is some parallel to how Shaul is relating to David. Pasuk 23. Vayidabru avdei Shaul ba'azne David. So the avdei Shaul do tell, they speak to David privately. Vayomer David. And David says, Hanikla b'neichem ischatein v'melech v'anuchi ish rosh v'nikleh. What do I have? I can't marry into a royal king. I'm poor as dirt. Rosh v'nikleh. I'm poor and I am a man of no consequence. So, what are you talking about? And the servants of Shaul now bring back the message to Shaul, and they tell him, that David is demurring. Kadvarim ha'ela diber David. This is what David said. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul responds, Kosamru la David. Tell him the following: Ein chefetz lamelech b'mohar. I don't need any money. All I need is for you to show some bravery and take some vengeance upon the enemies of the king. And again, here is where it comes into fruition, where he's when you have two two armies that are confronting one another, and then the war is over. Okay, so the war is over. But here what he's saying is, I want you to go, and I want you to, you know, basically terrorize them and bring back, you know, bring back their Arlas, bring back the foreskins. So this would create so much enmity that the Plishtim, as I said earlier, wouldn't forget it. They would hold a grudge, and David and Shaul wouldn't even have to ask the Plishtim to help him out. Shaul wouldn't have to send David into harm's way. The Plishtim would come and seek him out. So here you have another layer of Shaul's underhanded way of trying to get rid of David. So again, you have this, you know, love on comparison. Not that Lavan tried to get rid of Yaakov, but clearly this sort of deceitful and underhanded way of dealing. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't understand Shaul's thought process, because if the Plishtim would be angry at David, then he is a vessel of the king. So the Plishtim would take it out on all of Bnei Israel, not only David.
Perhaps, but if it's not wartime, if it's not a battle, you know, in the olden days, up until a couple hundred years ago, when armies went to battle, you know, it was a formalized thing there, where, you know, armies were in a field of battle. You didn't have this type of terrorism warfare, so one could certainly make the case that David was acting on his own. He wasn't simply a vessel. He wasn't simply a vessel of, even though he was, but you know, it was plausible deniability that David was acting on his own, and the enmity that he would have engendered would have been on his own. That's at least what the Malbim suggests. Okay, you want to see it in the Malbim? Here. So Malbim says, "Ratzalomer ki im lo chamim v'hargim b'derech milchama." If you fight in the context of war, ein bazeh misitma al sar hatzava. This doesn't necessarily create, you know, unending hatred to the leader of the army. But you know, if you pounce upon civilians, the koreis are loseim derech gnai, and you treat them in such a shameful way, right? You're cutting off their foreskins. Ze'ino derech milchama rak derech tzoreru misnakim. That just looks like a vengeful guy. Shebehechrech yishmur haplishtim alav eva. And this would certainly, says the Malbim, this would certainly create the sense of a grudge being held by the Plishtim, v'yisnaklu linkombo, and they would try to take vengeance on David for this dastardly deed. So that's what's going through. That's what's going through through Shaul's head. 26. Vayagidu avadav leDavid es hadvarim ha'ele vayishar hadavar b'nei David lishatein b'melach v'lo malu. Ha yamin, right? And so when his courtiers told this to David, so David, okay, thought it was a fine idea becoming the king's son-in-law, and the lo malu hayamim, and he didn't, you know, let any time go by. The days did not pass; they did not, you know, they were not full. Meaning, it's an expression, lo malu hayamim. You know, not that much time went by. And now, Pasuk 27, we see how David is supercharged here. Vayakam, vayelech, vayach, vayave, vayimalum lamelech. So David gets up, vayakam, first action verb, vayelech, and he goes, second action verb, vayach baplishtim, and he attacks the plishtim, 200 of their men, a third action verb, word. Vayave David es arlosehem. And he brings back their foreskins. The fourth action, vayimal lamelach, and he counted them out for the king. So David is super charged, and there's a contrast here between Shaul's skullduggery, if you will, his deceit, his lies, and David is, you know, totally oblivious to it all. He is marching with great hislavos, with great excitement, power, energy, vivaciousness. You know, he's marching full ahead. Vayiten lo Shaul es Michal bito le'isha. And Shaul then gives Michal to him as a wife. Yeah, go ahead.
Is David acting in a formal battle, or is he acting as a renegade and just killing Philistines at random?
The latter, killing Philistines at random.
Really?
That was Shaul's plan, that this would engender a tremendous enmity by the Plishtim against Shaul. You know, I'm reminded, I don't know if any of you have read Michael Oren's book, 6 Days at War, but I'm pretty sure I read it in that book, where he talks about the, you know, after the war was over, years later, that there was, maybe it was after the Yom Kippur War, I don't remember, but at some point, the Egyptian forces meet with the Israeli forces. You know, those soldiers that had fought all those years earlier. It wasn't 6 days. Must have been Yom Kippur. But he talks about how they met each other subsequently, and how they met each other. They met each other subsequently. You know, they dropped their sense of hatred for one another, and they actually embraced. So, you know, there is sort of an honor of soldiers in battle. Okay, but this is exactly the opposite of what Shaul was trying to do. Ayetzu Sari Plishtim. And the Sari Plishtim go out. Vayihi miday tzeisam sachal David mikol avdei Shaul vayikar shmo ma'od. And they and as much as every time that David went to battle with the Plishtim, he was more successful than before. And Shaul couldn't live with this. Okay. So, in what I've just tried to develop with you in these psukim here, and there are many different ways to take it, and there's a lot of allusions going on over here, but Shaul and David sort of have this Lavan Yaakov parallel going on over here. Now, I think it really comes out into full force as the psukim develop here in chapter 19. Vayidaber Shaul el Yonasan beno vel kol avadav lahamisis David. Now, after Shaul was unsuccessful in these various stages of his development of trying to kill David, he finally says it's time to go full force, straight on. And he tells Yonatan and all his servants, Lahamis says, David, want to get rid of David, want to kill David. Yonatan ben Shaul chafetz be David ma'od. And Yonatan liked Shaul a lot. He liked David a lot. Vayaged Yonatan le David lemor, mevake Shaul avi lamisacha. And Yonatan says to David, my father wants to kill you. V'yata hishamer na baboker v'yashavta v'seser v'nachbesa. I need you to be on guard, and you will yashafta basesar, and you will hide out vinach besa, and you will remain in hiding. Vani etzev amarati liyad avi basadeh asher ata sham, and I'm going to go and I'm going to ferret this out. Vani adaber b'chal avi, and I'm going to speak. The Malbim says I'm going to speak ill of you. V'ra'isi ma v'higadeti lach. And I will see, says the Malbim, is my father Shaul going to agree with my negative portrayal of you? And if he does, and I will come back and I will tell you, and you will be ready to you know, ready to escape on the fly. Vayidaber Yonasan b'David Tov el Shaul Aviv. So the Malbim says, Vayidaber Yonasan. Yonasan engaged his strategy to speak ill of David. However, it was Tov el Shaul Aviv. What he said rang positive in Shaul's perspective. So what did he say? He basically said to him that David. Well, let's take a quick look at the Malbim here. Take a quick look at the Malbim. Okay. Here we go. So the Malbim says the following: Ratzalom Ashehiskil Hadibur Bignai. He tried to start talking negatively about David. Lemashal, for example, Hischilomar. He started to say, Ki David, who ish mafkir es chayav. He is an irresponsible guy. He's crazy. He's irresponsible. He's not brave. He's reckless. Shezeh ein roi l'ish yashar. And that's not proper for a straight person of integrity, for a responsible person. V'davar zeh hayatov el shaul aviv. But even though Yonatan was saying it as a negative thing, this guy's reckless, you know, he goes out and he puts his life on the line, David saw it as a good thing. Ratzalomar shehutav be'enav. So that's how the pasuk reads. Vayidaber Yonasan b'David tov el shaul aviv. He was trying to speak negatively, but it was tov for Shaul. Now, once he saw that Shaul saw it, in a positive light, achar shepasach bignus savav adavar v'avayomer ilav imken al yechta hamelech ba'avdo David. In other words, he said, once he saw that Shaul didn't see this negatively, he said, okay, so you know he reoriented his lashon hara, and instead of saying this as a bad thing about Shaul or about David, he says to David, like, even though he's got these things, so you know, please don't don't take any vengeance upon him, don't look down upon him. Achar shehu ish misakein nafsho bavurecha tamid. Hagam shezeh davar ra mitzad atzmo, even though it's a bad thing for him, v'huchata neged atzmo, and he's sinning against himself, nevertheless, don't hold it against him. Kazot v'kazot yaaseh limsor nafsho ke'echad hamufkarim v'zeh tov lach. So this is how the Malbim understands what Yonatan is telling Shaul. Vayomer elav, David, don't look down at David for his reckless behavior. After all, look what he did. He destroyed Goliath. And he did a great he did a great redemption for the people. And you saw and you were happy. Why would you think, Yonatan is turning it all around now. Vayishma Shaul b'kol Yonasan, and Shaul hears what Yonasan is saying. Vayishava Shaul chay Hashem im yumas. And Shaul says, "I swear that I will not touch him." Okay. Vayikra Yonasan el David, and Yonasan tells this to David. Vayave Yonasan el David al Shaul, and David and Yonasan then brings David to Shaul. Vayilafanav ke'etmol shilshom. Look at these words here. Vayilafanav ke'etmol shilshom. Does anybody remember such terminology from the story of Lavan and Yaakov and Rachel? So when... What was that part? Yeah, that's Yamim Achadim, Barbara. No, when Yaakov decides it's time for him to leave and go back, or at least leave Lavan, what does he say to himself? He looks at Lavan's servants and his staff, and he says, Vayar, and he looks and he sees that they do not relate to him, Kitmol Shilshom.
Right.
Right? So this is a clear love on Yaakov connection over here. Now it says Vayhi lefanav ketmol shilshom, and Shaul was it was as good as yesterday. Nothing changed. He was happy with David like the good old days, but nothing could be further than the truth. Maybe even Shaul was deceiving himself, but clearly it was not ketmol shilshom. It wasn't like the good old days. And maybe Shaul presented himself that way, but it was not. Batosef hamilchama lehiyos, fighting broke out. Vayetze David vayilachem baplishtim, vayach bahem akah gedola vayanusu mipanav. And he beats back the plishtim. Batihi ruach Hashem ra'a el Shaul, and there was an evil spirit on Shaul from Hashem. Vehu beveso yoshev v'chaniso biyado. And he's sort of sitting there brooding in his house with his spear in his hand, waiting to pounce at the appropriate moment. V'David minagein biyad, and David is whistling, what do they say, whistling by walking by the graveyard and whistling? He doesn't even realize the danger that he's in. Vayivakesh Shaul lahakos b'chanis David uvakir, vayiftar mipnei Shaul, vayach et hachanit bakir. And Shaul tries to kill him, but he does not succeed. The David nas vayimaleit balayla hahu. But now David sees what's going on, and David flees and he gets to safety. So here we have Tmol Shilshom. We have the turning point in the love on Yaakov relationship when Yaakov realizes he has to leave and he runs away. And here we have Tmol Shilshom followed by David running away. Somebody want to say something?
What does the pasuk mean by an evil spirit of God came upon Saul? What is that? Was that an Asara? I mean, what is the pasuk referring to?
It means that Hashem's was not providing him with success, and on the one hand, and on the other hand, he had a sense of misery that his days were over, you know, that his time was done. So, Vayishlach Shaul Malachim El Beis David L'Shamro, and Shaul sends messengers to the house of David to keep watch on him, Ulhamito Baboker, and to kill him in the morning. And this relates to Lavan, right? Chasing after Yaakov, and he certainly did not have. He did not have peaceful designs with Yaakov, but something happened between the time that he started to chase Yaakov and the time that he catches up with him. And similarly over here, something happens as well. Batagid le David Michal Ishto Lemor, and it was told Michal tells David, David's is worded in a little bit circuitous way. But David's wife Michal tells him, "Imencha b'maletes nafshecha halayla machara tamumas. If you don't run for your life tonight, you will be dead tomorrow." And now Michal, his wife, Michal Ishto, hatches a strategy, a plan, to preserve David and to save David. So first of all, she sends him away. Batorid Michal as David biyad achalon. She lowers him out the window. And he goes and he runs away and he escapes. And this is reminiscent, of course, the beginning of Yehoshua, right, with Rachav and the Meraglim and how they go down the window and run away. Okay.
Or Yosef from Eshet Potifar.
Or Yosef and Eshet Potifar. But over here, I'm saying with the window, Biad HaChalon, you know, climbing out the window and running out.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yes,
Batikach Michal es hatrafim, and now Michal takes the trafim. Who else took trafim?
Rachel.
Right? Rachel stole the trafim of Lavan.
Where did Michal get these trafim from? I mean, she didn't
It's a good question. Give me 1 second. I'll get back to it in a moment. But okay. She takes these trafim, vatasem el hamita. She puts it in the bed, veskvir ha'izim, and some goat hair. She put at the head, vatachas ba'beged, and covers it up with a blanket. So it looks like there's a guy sleeping there, right? So she takes these trafim and she covers up the trafim as Rachel covers up the trafim, right? For the purposes of deceiving Lavan, in this case, the purposes of deceiving Shaul and his minions. And the purpose of that deceit is through the trafim is apparently, in this case, to save David. And in the case of Yaakov, I guess it's to preserve Yaakov's. She didn't tell him that she stole it, and she was trying to protect Yaakov. Now, just the fact that we don't have trafim come up too many times in Tanakh, but these are two prominent times. And if this was the only connection between the two stories, I would say, okay, maybe just coincidence. But in light of everything else, I don't think it's just a coincidence. Vayishlach Shaul malachim lakachas es David vatomer cholahu. Shaul sends these messengers to get David, and she says he's sick. Right? And what does Rachel say to Lavan, when he approaches her about, and she says she can't get off the... She can't.
I'm unmanly.
Right. Okay. So not exactly sick in a bad way, but she's not feeling well. She's not right. So another parallel. Vayishlach Shaul es hamalachim liros es David lemor, and Shaul sends these malachim to see David and say, Ha'alu oso b'mita elai lahamito, bring him to me. Bring, I don't care where he is, just bring him to me so I can kill him. Right? What?
In the bed.
In the bed, right? Right, halu oso bamita, right? Bring him in the bed. I don't care how you get him to me. I don't care if he's asleep. Bring him to me. Right? All right. Vayavo'u hamalachim, vihine ha-trafim el hamita, and the malachim come, and behold, the trafim are in the bed, ukvir ha-zime rashosav, Yomer Shaul el Michal, and Shaul realizes that he has been deceived. And he says, Lama kacha rimisani. Who says that, by the way? Lama rimisani. What?
Yaakov and Lavan.
Right? And, right? So, Lama kacha rimisani. What?
Yaakov to Lavan.
Yeah. Vatishalchi es oivi vayimaleit, and you sent away my enemy and you let him escape. Tomer Michal Shaul, and Michal now says to Shaul, and she deceives him, she lies to him. Hu amar elai shalcheni lama amitech. He said to me, shalcheni. He said to me, help me get away, or I'll kill you. Right? That's what she reports, to Lavan. That's what she reports to Shaul. The David barach vayimaleit, and David ran away, and he escapes. Vayavo al Shmuel, he comes to Shmuel. Vayagilo is called Asher Asalo Shaul. Vayelachu uShmuel vayishvu b'Nayot, and they go and they stay in Nayot, which is outside of Ramah, and apparently. This is a place where they can really commune with Hashem and Davin and do what they need to do. Vayugad l'shaul emor hinei David b'nayot b'rama. Vayishlach shaul malachim l'kaches es David b'yar l'hakat anavim. And he sends people to try to go get him, but his messengers are dissuaded by the band of prophets. Vatihi al malachei shaul ruach elohim v'yitnabu gam hema. And the messengers also began to have some type of nevuah. All right, before we get into the next stage of the story, I want to go back here. Barbara, you asked the question, about the Truffin. So I want to share with you what the Radak says. Atikach Satrafim. Let's see. Okay. One second. Let me just make sure I'm giving you the right Radak here.
Maybe she got it from her. I don't know. I was guessing.
Give me one second.
What's up to the soul?
Yeah, pasuk. Okay, here we go. See, where is the one? Here's the Radak. Okay, there we go. Okay, so the Radak says the following: Targumo Tzalmanya, Behem Asuyim Bidmus Guf Adam. These Trafim were. They looked like human figures. What? They were human figures. Lefikach sama osam bamita sheyid me David shochev sham uvemekom rosho samam kvir hayizim. So she thought this would be a good way to deceive Shaul. Now skip to over here where it says v'inyan hatrafim. So what's this? These trafim. So yesh mefarshim kim heim avodas gilulim, that they are avodah zara. Kmo hatrafim asher lelavan, just like Lavan's trafim were avodah zara. Shegunavtam Rachel v'Lavan oved avodas gilulim haya, and he was indeed an idol worshipper. Kmo she'amar lama gunavtes Elohai, why did you steal my God? V'chalila shahaya beveis David avodas gilulim. Says the Radak, this cannot be. Idolatry. How could there be idolatry in the house How could there be idolatry in the house of David? The Yesh Omrim, and some say Shu Klei Nechoshes, that these were copper vessels. Ha'asui Ladat Chelke Hashot. It was a big sundial. The Yerubahem Ha'atidut. They could also somehow divine the future. B'mishpat hamazalos, through astrology, somehow this helped through the astrological signs and could help divine the future. V'zei tachim b'davar Lavan, and that makes sense when it comes to Lavan. Aval b'davar Michal, but to say that Michal was doing this, who kasha lefaresh? That's very hard to say. So whether it was mamish avodah zara, whether it was astrology, divining the future, lama samo samba mita. If it was Michal doing this, why did she put them in the bed? Makom David, v'oso hakli eno b'tchuna hazos. It doesn't make sense. V'achacham, Rabbi Ibn Ezra, he says, Zichrona l'vracha kasav, ki atrafim heim al tzuras ben Adam, v'yasuya l'kabel koach elyonim. That these trafim indeed did look like people, and they had some way of connecting to some, you know, ethereal divine energies. Not exactly sure what that means. Okay. So here we have these trafim. Now, so we have here father-in-law and the with the two daughters, and trying to send the first daughter first, and deceiving this the potential son-in-law, and having dangerous threatening designs on the son-in-law, and the son-in-law running away and running after the son-in-law, and attempting to kill him, and something in the middle of the night coming to him. I forgot to point that out. In the case of Lavan, remember Hashem comes to him in the middle of the night to tell him not to hold off and not to kill anybody. Over here, Michal comes in the middle of the night, and Michal saves David by telling him to run away. And of course, the Trafim is the piece de resistance here, which makes the connection absolutely, in my mind, irrefutable. So the question then becomes, oh, and of course, Yaakov sees angels. Yaakov meets Malachim, Yaakov meets angels in Machanayim on the way back after, you know, after he leaves Lavan. And here Yaakov, and here David engages Malachim. Right? So there are so many, you know, connections over here. And the question is, what is the, you know, what is the meaning of it? So before I share with you just you know, in you know, the punchline over here, if you have a thought, I'm willing to hear, you know, before I share with you what I think the punchline is, at least what I think the punchline is.
History repeats.
Okay, history repeats itself. Okay. Anybody else?
I know that Yaakov said, Malach, Yama Yaakov Katsara, Machane Elohim Zeh. He knew that it was Machane Elohim, so he knew that everything that went on had to do with whatever Hashem wanted to happen, and that whatever, you know, what happened, he was sure that he'd be protected. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Tzapi felt the same way as well.
Okay. So, I would like to say... Yeah, go... Go ahead.
There is a pasuk, Bo kara v'yachpereinu, v'yipol b'shacha tif'al. Mishu rotze laharog mishu acher, b'tzura mesuyemet, v'hu b'asmo ne'erag. Hu ratza sh'aplishtim yahargu et David, v'aplishtim hargu et Shaul, l'maase.
In other words, what he planned to do...
What he planned for David, he himself fell into the same...
Right. Okay, so that's actually another connection here, you know, where Lavan intended to deceive, you know, to play tricks on Yaakov. At the end, it comes back, and he is deceived. And similarly, over here, you know, Shaul has all these deceitful ways with David, but in the end, he's the one who is deceived. But I think I'll share with you, two thoughts. One is that. As a consequence of the trophim, of Rachel's stealing the trophim from Lavan, so that deceit, that series of events leads to her own death, right? And she dies when Binyamin is born, right? So Binyamin is the birth of Binyamin is the consequence of of this thing with the trophim. Now, all these generations later, it is the descendant of Binyamin that is trying to sort of do a tikkun, right? The descendant of Binyamin, i.e. Michal, is taking the trophim. In order to protect and save Yaakov's life, and save David's life. So, in a certain sense, it might be a little bit of a tikkun here. Binyamin was the cause of the death of Rachel. I mean, in a certain way, and now Binyamin is going to be a cause of the preservation of Malchus based David. So I think that's one, one way to sort of look at all of this, it's really about. There are multiple things here. It's about Shaul. It's about Binyamin doing a tikkun, but it's also about giving Shaul an opportunity to see himself. And Shaul acts with all this deceit and lies and so on, and he's given an opportunity here. He tells him, bring me the bed. And what's in that bed? Trophim. Even Shaul knows what trophim are. Trophim is fake. Trophim is not genuine. Trophim is inauthentic. Trophim is plastic. Trophim is synthetic. Trophim is not true. And here Shaul is faced, you know, he's running, and then in his face are these trophim. And Michal, his own daughter, is putting these trophim in his face. It's like a big slap in the face to wake him up and say, look what you're doing. Do you really want to go down this path? Truffim is all about deceit and deception, which leads to death. And death of the person who suspects it least. And Shaul knows the story of Yaakov Avinu. He knows the story of Yaakov Avinu. Right? And this is what Michal is presenting to him. She's not simply figuring out a strategy of how to save David. She's figuring out a strategy about how to save Shaul. Because if Shaul can get the message, because you know people can't. It's sometimes it's hard for people, you know, to hear what they need to hear. So you have to come at them from a different perspective, and let them see it on their own and learn it on their own. When people can self learn, when people can come to a conclusion on their own, that's really learning. And so she's setting it all up for him, Michal. She's setting it up for him so he can achieve self-awareness. And when he can achieve that self-awareness, then he can peaceably move on in his life and pass the melucha on to David. So she gives him a great gift, and he looks the gift horse in the mouth, and he doesn't see it at all. He doesn't see it at all. It just makes him more angry and more frustrated and more desirous to kill kill David. But the truffim here, in my view, are representative of deceit and deception. We have 25 psukim here of sharing with of the Navi telling us about how deceitful Shaul is. He's coming up with all these contrivances in his mind, how it's going to work. At the end of the day, Michal thrusts in front of him, look what you're doing, father. Look. Truffim. But Truffim is all the story about deceit and deception leading to death. But he doesn't see it. And so our story, Ezras Hashem, will continue next week. But at this point, not what we've developed thus far is not only the tension between Shaul and David spilling out into the open, but also the self-destruction of Shaul, because it's a double story. Shaul's attempt to kill David is really a story of self-destruction. And this is the beginning of that long and sad journey. Okay? We'll... Yeah?
Wasn't Esther also a tikkun for Shaul? To rectify the
Malchus. Okay, so when we get to Purim time, I'm going to go through these same psukim again, and we're going to see many parallels here from the Megillah to these psukim. Just for example, just to give you two quick ones here. At the end of Perek Yud Ches, what does it say? Vayihi midei tseisam sakal David mikol avdei Shaul vayikar shmo meod, and his name became yakar throughout the land, and that's a word that comes up in the Megillah very often. Yakar yoter mimeni, right? We have the avdei Haman speaking, the avdei Shaul speaking. There are a lot of comparisons here between the story and the Megillah and the story here. So yes, you are correct that there is a that there is a correspondence between Esther many generations later and our story of David and Michal, actually going back to Yosef, connecting what we did a couple of weeks ago between Yosef and David. And then when we talk about when we get to Purim time, we'll talk about David and Megillah's Esther. But there's like basically, there's definitely a line that connects the three.
Great job, Elise.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.